Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
In case you're tuning in, this is going to be a... Neem and I do this every week. This is our pregame on Friday night that we do before the Saturday and Sunday shows. And we kind of go through our game plan. So, but I thought I'd put one of these up since Neem is going to be absent and... a bit, and this will be a Wednesday show of how we pregame, but it'll probably come out. It'll definitely come out after these two episodes. So, hey, do you mind if I I'm taping this? I was thinking, do you mind if we tape this and like maybe one Wednesday while you're on maternity leave or paternity leave, I could do it as a Wednesday show teaching hospital how we pregame.
Yeah, if you want, I don't care.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I want to do a bunch with Ben, not a bunch, but I don't know how many you're going to take off, but I want to do some with Ben, but not all Ben all the time. Like, you know, Ben sometimes do this one time for a Wednesday show, do an interview sometimes. Yeah, I'm recording an interview Wednesday with, we can still do our show Wednesday, but Wednesday early, like at 1:30, I'm doing an interview that I'm going to keep in the can for a weekend show that you're off.
Yeah, you told me about that with the FF or the FEE guy.
Yeah, I actually called them the EFF, and he's like, "No, that's someone else. We're the." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. We just did an ad for them. I know who they are." Yep.
Yeah, the FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education.
Yeah, they're heavy hitters, man. They're
Yeah, they are. They're OGs too. Like,
they're
weren't they?
So OG. They were the guy who runs their magazine. He's great, and he's funny, and he's solid, but he's like 40, and you know, like they started before he was born.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think the way I define a libertarian OG is you were libertarian before the internet, because it's easy now that you got the internet.
That's a good point. Yeah,
like before the internet, you had to like figure it out yourself, and then subscribe to a newsletter, and then learn one newsletter at a time about all the libertarian things.
Yeah.
Now you just learn it all in like a day. You don't have an excuse anymore.
I know. Yeah. And you know, if libertarianism was the way that Christians look at Christianity, like, you know, some Christians, like they go out and try to preach to everybody all over the world because they have the theory that like if you are offered Jesus and say no, then you can go to hell. Like, you know, otherwise
you're going to live. No, you can all go to hell because I came to your house with the Bible.
Yeah. And if that were the case with libertarianism, I'd go to hell because when I was 18, I told you there was a Libertarian Party card table set up in my student union. And I was like really high on pot, and I looked at it, and they could tell I was a stoner, and they're like, "We're for legalizing pot." And I picked up their literature, and it looked like school, and I'm like, "No thanks." I'm just set it down, and like, man, just imagine, just imagine if my brain.
Well, you came of age later. Yeah. I mean, you took your gap year, and then you came back, and
I took my gap 3 decades, and then,
I
spent that 3 decades like learning how to do media and network and stuff. So that's
it was important to the process.
So the day I came into libertarianism, I was like already working on a book, literally. Like I came into libertarianism, and then I like wrote the user's manual, like, you know, within a few months. So.
That's how you do it. That's very Michael Dean.
Yeah.
Michael W. Dean, sorry.
Did you see these new pictures from Crazy Rich?
I saw the one of me as Conan the Warrior.
Did you see the one of me? Yeah, that's awesome. Did you see the one of me, Cats Must Flow?
Oh, no. Let me go ahead and open up my Google here. I was at a remembrance-type event for a lost family member. So,
Some old dead guy.
Yeah, he wasn't that old though. Like that, well,
I asked you earlier, like, whose funeral? And you're like, I don't know, some old guy. Must not have been someone very close.
But. Well, I don't think I ever met him. But it was there to support I was there to support my wife and her family and make an appearance. And,
was it someone she was close to, or was it some old dead guy?
She
to
had
her
met
too?
Him before. She wasn't close to him.
I would never go to a funeral of someone I've just met before, man. Funerals or I don't know.
Well, it wasn't the funeral. It was actually nice. It was kind of open source. You know, everybody was just there sharing stories, talking to each other. It's kind of like a mixer. And there was you know, sandwiches. Pecan bars, which were really good. Because I have a pet peeve about pecan pie. I'm from Texas, so everybody makes a pecan pie. But what they really are is they're goo pies with a thin layer of pecan on top.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 3 or 4 inches of goo, and I'm not down for that. But pecan bars, there's a much better pecan to goo ratio. So
pecan to goo ratio. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you install a new cable?
No. Are we cutting out?
No. But we did before, and that was something I said for you to do before the weekend show. And you're like, oh, I'll do that today. And I said, no, you won't. And I was right. Yeah, you haven't done it before today. Well, I actually...
Would you like to fill space for a minute while I go to my truck and grab an Ethernet cable?
Yeah. I'll just stop recording until you come back. Just pigeon me when you get back.
Yep.
So, Nima, you're back from your car. Yeah. Did you put in your new cable guy?
I did. Cool. Yeah. Well, it's Ethernet, so it's not coax. Yeah. But yeah, I put it on. It's
so good. The last couple weeks we've been having problems that weren't necessarily from your end. Like, we've been having, you know, the board ops are like, yeah, you're getting weird, like internet
Comrex issues.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I found out that my speed was up and down was half what it should be. I don't know how long it's been like that, but I've kind of noticed it. And I called my cable provider and they fixed it over the phone. They had to like provision the modem or something. Because I had a new modem put in recently, but I tested the speeds were right when I got it. It was like 35 up, you know, 35 down and like 5 up. Yep, but it was
that's what I do.
It was like half that. So it's back up to normal.
Well, so, what was it? They had limited you?
I asked him that. It was nothing like that. It was like the guy didn't provision it normally or correctly when he was here. Because I remember he said he was provisioning it, but he didn't do it. It didn't take, put it that way. And they did it over the phone by sending signals. I had to like get off the phone and have him call me back for, you know, they had to put in the NSA backdoor. I think, or the NSA backdoor wasn't provisioned correctly.
Okay. Yeah, but
I have a lot of stuff for notes for these two shows. Let's just kind of burn through them. I want to add this thing that Ross just sent of world's first 3D printed gun is tested by ATF agents and it blows up in their faces.
Yeah, I kind of don't get this. It's from the Daily Mail. I thought, do they mean by fully 3D printed that there was no nail for the firing pin?
Oh.
Is that what they mean?
Let's see. Let's check the date on this. Okay, first of all, this is from this week. Let's see. First fully functioning. Demand of dying taken offline. Unfortunately, Bureau tested results Wednesday. The power to the weapon was found to have the power to penetrate several inches of flesh as well as penetrations.
This is a horrible example of a badly written headline.
It didn't blow up in their faces. It made fools of them. Is that what they're saying?
I guess. Yeah. Because look, it says, the weapon was found to have the power to penetrate several inches of flesh as well as human skull. The bottom line is the penetration results demonstrated that the Liberator is a lethal weapon, Earl Griffith, chief of ATF's firearm technology branch, told the Huffington Post. The 380 bullets fired from the Liberator penetrate sufficiently to reach vital organs and perforate the skull. The ATF printed several versions of the gun using different materials. The gun printed in plastic material called Visijet exploded during the test. Okay, so one of them did explode.
Yeah. The thing about the 3D gun, I mean, it's a solid test, you know, proof of concept, and people have improved it since then. But something that is not that commonly reported with it, because not that many people have actually made one and put the results online. First of all, they're not as easy to make as just pressing a button on your printer. Like 3D printers printing anything often make fuck-ups, like it doesn't work. There's actually whole sites devoted to like bizarrely colorful things that were accidentally printed by 3D printers. Like you can't just expect to buy a 3D printer, put the medium in it and hook it up and print a gun the first time it works. And yeah, they're plastic guns. They can blow up, you know?
Yeah, well, let's see. A gun rendered in a stronger plastic known as ABS shot 8 rounds without any problems. So it was one specific type of plastic they used called Visijet that exploded. After 8 shots, I guess that's the other thing about the Liberator is just like the original Liberator,
it's expected to do one shot. The original was to capture another weapon. This is for theory. This is actually probably too big to be used easily like the original Liberator because it wouldn't be hideable in your hand the way the original Liberator was. You know, the Nazis would see you coming with what looks like a quart of milk in your hand and shoot you.
So maybe it wasn't such a badly written headline because, hey, it got us to talk about it on the air.
I wonder whose skull the ATF shot into to test it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully it was some kind of organ donor or something.
Yeah, dead skull. Yeah. So I just read at the bottom of this. I don't think we should spend time on this right now. Maybe tomorrow. But this is basically just a cry for we need more metal detectors and more laws. That's all this article is. It's on what site?
Daily Mail.
Yeah, it's fucking Europe. Yeah, okay. It's Europe. Fuck Europe.
Those silly Europeans.
Okay, so moving along. The main thing is, I want to talk tomorrow, like the important thing is, tomorrow is 6 months of us on the radio. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That is awesome.
Yep. And I wrote a little intro here and stuff. We're also going to welcome a station in Knoxville. We're also starting on another station that we can't mention on the air yet because they haven't signed an agreement. It's a trial run. But it's in Asheville, North Carolina. And the fun thing is that, like, we're on in the same city as Free Talk Live is at the same time on a different station.
That's so awesome.
Ian thinks it's awesome. Mark thinks it's awesome. It's not competition. It's like, that's a first for two, like, I mean, really, there's only two hardcore libertarian syndicated shows, literally, in the world.
Right.
Us and them. And we're on 15 stations now. He joked with me. He wrote me. He's like, "Pod Beef Dean, I will destroy you." And I wrote back that if I had enough money to throw around money, I would rent time on the radio station he's on or through GCN and put ads on his show that says, "Are you listening to Free Talk Live? You should immediately turn the channel in your town and listen to, you know, Freedom Fiends, all the liberty with none of the annoying callers."
Yeah, we're not open phones. We do take calls every now and then.
I don't think callers are annoying, but I think open phones is an annoying format. It totally works for them. I don't think they should change it. It's been that way for 10 years, but I don't like it. Yeah. Maybe if we did 7 shows a week, I'd like it and encourage it more, but, you know. All right, so there's that.
Well, Scott Horton's pretty hardcore libertarian, but I think he's only, as far as radio goes,
not syndicated
on
radio. It's not syndicated. There are actually, that I know of, there are 4 or 5 people that have a show that's, you know, more libertarian than the Libertarian Party, somewhere between the Libertarian Party and anarcho-capitalist Murray Rothbard type. There are, that I know of, at least 4 shows like that in America, but they're only on one station, and it's like the person is paid by the radio station to come in and do the show. Like, they're an employee and they do it.
Peter Schiff, but he's not really.
There's a couple people also, like Peter Schiff, and there's another guy who are ANCAPs and do a show, but that's not.
Peter Schiff doesn't really talk.
He's an economic show.
ANCAPism.
Yeah, and there's another guy. There's a guy who actually is on 3 or 4 stations, who lives in Vietnam, who does a show.
Oh, yeah.
Who's an ANCAP.
We were going to have him on our show.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. He didn't write back the 4th time or something. But he's an ANCAP. But the main thing about his show, it's about expatting. You know, so he may have like little bits about ANCAP or mostly economics kind of stuff, but it's not a hardcore liberty show. But he is a U.S. expat living in a country where they'll shoot you for owning one bullet. So, but you know, he's living like a king on, but not a lot of money.
Yeah.
So
it must be nice.
All right. So let's see. I want to talk about tomorrow about the dream I had. I dreamt all night one night about the aliens coming from Alpha Centauri after hearing us and how they proposed that we protect ourselves from tyranny. It was kind of interesting.
Ah, what was their proposal?
Oh, basically, like, it was like some kind of Sheldon Cooper kind of like string theory 11 dimension. Like, basically, you don't have to leave. You don't have to have a weapon. You don't have to, like, have a shield. You just basically can disappear where you are, you know. When they come and say, where's your property taxes, like, you can just make your house disappear kind of thing. But you're still functioning in the earth, on the earth.
Okay. Yeah. Your consciousness is just it becomes a quantum computer.
Yeah.
And it thinks in the other dimensions that are unknowable to the statists who are stuck in this level.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
And I'm the only person that has the technology, but I can share it with select people, and I shared it with you and yours.
And the people on the golden floppy disk of redemption.
Right, there you go. Yeah. Well, you also have to be of pure of heart for it to work. You have to be pure of heart.
Okay.
golden floppy disk. All right, so the next bit of business is, you know about the Venezuelan government shutting down everything, right?
Last time we talked about them was on the Wednesday show, and it was about their version of Best Buy. Have they gone on and occupied other holiday shopping?
No, but he's jailed. Too? He's jailed like 100 business owners. It's getting really fucked up. It's so. I just want to bring that up again because I don't want to just let it die because it's still happening. And I want to talk about the Spooner thing of, like, you know, has our Constitution authorized the current form of government, or has it been powerless to prevent it? And what I want to tie it in with is, how that's literally what he's doing is literally already happening in America from the left and the right. It's just a matter of degrees. Like, Obamacare is that, you know, it's shutting down things he doesn't like. You know, the love of tariffs that the Republicans have of, you know, like, Romney basically was running on a platform of higher tariffs for anything outside the U.S., especially China.
I don't even know if it's just a matter of degrees, because there may be, in some industries, more regulation in America. I think it's mostly a matter of decorum. I mean, in America, the predatory state,
the guns are hidden. The guns are hidden.
Is much, much better hidden.
Yeah,
at least
the guns are hidden.
It has been in the past. Yeah. I think it's getting less and less hidden.
It's like they don't stand at the checkout line pointing a machine gun at the clerk's head here.
No, they raid the owner at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Night raids.
I also heard something the other day. Okay, I'm going to stop recording for a sec.
Okay.
So. Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. I had to turn it off because it was secret, but that's great. All right, 3D printed gun, if we have to do that. Oh, I wanted to – I hired a kid this week, a 17-year-old boy, and paid him $50 to do 3 hours of yard work and haul a bunch of shit to the dump for me. The guy worked his fucking ass off, and it was, like, really good for him and really good for me, and I want to talk about it. And I also want to talk about how, like, it makes me hate the government even more, because it's like that kid just sweated, like, really fucking worked for $50. And I'm thinking about how casually the government will steal $50 from you, you know, everything, like, you know, traffic ticket. That's a $50 fine, you know,
paddling. $50 traffic tickets. I remember living in Wyoming where the traffic tickets were that cheap.
Yeah, there you go.
In Texas, they're $250 a pop, man.
All right. I want to talk about the America of the mind. And how some of it, I think, a lot of it, I think, is influenced by Mayberry RFD and Leave It to Beaver. And I want to point out that Mayberry RFD was supposed to be in North Carolina, but rural North Carolina, but it actually was filmed on a 40-acre back lot at Desilu Studios in Culver City, which doubled for the Old West on a few episodes of Star Trek and The Twilight Zone.
What is RFD supposed to stand for? I've heard Mayberry.
Reef, rural free delivery. Mail addresses in the sticks. I don't know if they still do, but, like, you know, my uncle's address, my late uncle's address in Sherman, New York, like, up the street from where my dad grew up, was like, you know, like, it had his name, and then it was like, you know, 3148 RFD 27, Sherman, New York. You know, rural free delivery. You know, that's let me get down to the thing about phones and a thing about the change of price. But okay, Leave It to Beaver was filmed on the Universal lot in Universal City, California, which is the same place that they filmed Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Desperate Housewives.
Nice.
So it's just bullshit. All right.
Yeah.
We talked about Norquist and job tariffs, so I can take that out.
Tariffs.
Yeah. oh, you know, actually, okay, this would be good. We should segue into, we should segue from the tariffs part that I had in here about the Venezuelan president into what phone calls used to. This will be good because this bridges the generation gap of like our older listeners and newer listeners that we imagine we have. I think it's mm-hmm. just old people listening to us. I think it's old people listening to us because I've yet to get an email. All these stations run. I've yet to get an email from someone who's like, hey, I just heard you guys from the first time today in bumfuck Iowa. I really like your show. It hasn't happened yet, man.
Yeah. We got younger listeners. They just find us on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young people don't listen to the radio.
Yeah, but I wanted to play. this is okay on the Wikipedia article about long distance calling and what it used to entail. There's a recording from the show Dragnet of a long distance call being made in 1954. Listen to this.
Long distance.
I'd like to place a person-to-person call to Mrs. Hannah Lasky, Fountain Green, Utah. That number is 14R2.
Fountain Green, Utah, 14R2.
That's right.
Your name and number, please.
Joe Friday, and this is Hempstead, 8594.
Thank you. Rate operator. Fountain Green, Utah, route and night person rate from Los Angeles.
DC Mount Pleasant, Salt Lake, night person 140. Beep, beep.
Through Salt Lake.
Salt Lake,
Mount Pleasant.
Beep. Mount Pleasant,
Fountain Green.
Beep, beep. Fountain Green.
Fountain Green, 14R2. Mrs. Hannah Lasky, Los Angeles, California, calling.
Thank you. Ringing operator.
Hello.
Mrs. Hannah Lasky, please. Los Angeles, California, calling.
Oh, yes. Hang on, I'll get her.
Waiting on your party, sir.
Thanks. Getting through all right, Jim? Yeah. Lucky. Yeah.
Hello?
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 Hello, Ms. Lasky.
Yes?
Just a minute, Ms. Lasky.
Yeah. That's what it used to take to make a long-distance call.
Jeez. How long ago was that?
And that was $1.40 a minute for night rate in 1954. Wow. $1.40 in 1954? Man.
That's a lot of money.
That's a Cadillac or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah. You didn't...
So the tone operator, like when you hear... I don't even know if you hear it anymore. Like
there were two different operators there. Well, actually, I think one was a recording, but it was telling her the rate. And that was a person-to-person call, which means, you know, if the husband answers and the wife's out and you're calling for the wife, you don't have to pay for the call. And but person-to-person costs more. Yeah. Huh. So we should talk about that and then talk about...
What would be the alternative between... What else would it be other than a person-to-person call?
A direct call, but you pay less per minute, but you don't pay, but you pay whether or not the person you want to talk to answers or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, and the actually, my dad and I used to have a workaround. Was I would place when I was at boarding school. I should put this in the notes. Let me see, boarding school. Like, I didn't have money to make calls because I was using a payphone. So when I wanted him to call me, like he knew the number of the payphone in my dorm, I would make a person-to-person collect call to him, which would even be more a minute, but to him. And then he would say, oh, Jack's not here. And then he'd hang up and call me back and it would be cheaper and he could pay for it. But nice. We should talk about, you know, a little bit about like tariffs and like how the government interferes with it, with commerce. And that was like, there was a monopoly, a government controlled monopoly, Bell Telephone in 1954.
Ma Bell.
Yeah.
Got the ill communication.
Yeah. Old People
Beastie Boys
rap.
Had an album about it.
Old People mm-hmm. Rap. Yep.
All I right. guess Beastie Boys are old people rap now, aren't they?
So that wasn't...
died of cancer.
You didn't have to do that when I was a kid to make a long distance call, but they were you know, a dollar a minute or so in America during business hours. But to make an international call, you had to do that. I remember when we called Africa when I was a kid, we had to do that. And yeah.
You guys called Africa when you were a kid?
I've told this story like four times on the show.
Your sister?
I guess it's time to do it again if we haven't done it. Yeah. But I also want to talk about like how very cheap the price of communication has got. Like basically think about what we do on the podcast every week, and there's like people listening on their cell phones. Like we're basically every week making a 1 hour, an hour and a half phone call to thousands of people long distance.
Yeah.
You know, in much higher quality than phone audio back then.
You know what else I heard? I started listening to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, which is amazing, by the way. He's not, ideologically pure, but he's factually intriguing, and he's a good storyteller. But he's got a thing where I guess he advertises for Audible, and he makes the argument that podcasting and the ease of listening to recorded audio now is revitalizing literature. And
who's this? I'll put this in the notes.
Dan Carlin. He does Hardcore History. It's a really popular podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, he basically makes the argument that now it's not such a time commitment to read things, to read books, or to ingest knowledge.
You have them read to you.
Everybody does it while they're doing other things. Everybody does it while they're stuck in traffic, which is stuff they're going to be doing anyway.
Yeah.
So people actually ingest a lot more in the realm of ideas than we're used to them, or at least
I like the thing you said about what a hardcore libertarian is. I should put that in the notes.
Oh, an OG libertarian?
Yeah.
Existing before the internet? Yeah.
We have to explain OG on the radio.
Original gangster. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it, Lou Rockwell talked about he used to, like, get faxes of ideas from Murray Rothbard?
Did he? I haven't heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah, you know who never wrote back? I recently wrote again to Mr. Redenbacher, or what's his name? Jeff Riggenbacher? Riggenbotham? Rigatoni. What's his name?
I think it's Jeff Riggenbacher, isn't it?
Yeah. Because a couple months ago, he said, I'm busy right now, but call me in a couple months or email me in a couple months, and I did, and he never wrote back. I'll write him again right now. What's his name? Jeff?
Busy man.
Jeff.
Riggenbacher.
Yeah.
Jeff. Riggenbacher. His wiki page has a picture of him smoking a tobacco pipe.
Yeah.
That's OG, too. Nowadays, we all vape. The Bears Lair. I guess it's not his wiki page, but there is a picture of him.
Yeah. I like doing interviews, but they're really fucking hard to set up compared to just us doing a show,
And also it's much more of an unknown whether it's going to be interesting or go off without a hitch than just a traditional me and you BSing for 2 hours.
I just got another thing from Ross. Obamacare tech firm tried and failed to build gun registry in Canada. I'm starting to think, like, I really can't figure out if the Obamacare web failure is designed or just central planning at its best. Alex Jones says it's designed so it'll fail and everyone will get screwed over and be clamoring for single payer, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, why would they hire this company that failed before? Maybe because that's part of the plan. I don't know. But I say it's just more proof that the saving grace of the government is how they can't do anything.
Yeah. It's the age old stupid or evil argument. And I don't know if anybody's ever figured that out yet.
That'd be a good title.
I think the right answer is it's a mix of both.
I think my wife's answer to questions like that are usually, is it stupid or evil? Yes.
Yes.
She often answers yes to a this or that question when it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. She just says yes. Mm-hmm. It's really cute. I like it.
Like it.
Yeah. Should we call this episode Is Government Stupid or Evil?
Sure. You talking about a radio episode or are you talking about
No, right here? Not this. This is going to be called Spankings from the Teaching Hospital or something.
Sexy.
Yeah. All right, so I'll put this Canadian gun registry thing in. Man, this is... We've already got way more notes than we need these days to do a two-day show, but...
All right.
Yeah. Okay, oh, I have something...
My wife did want me to finish early, so if we've got other pressing ones, let's get through them quick.
Okay. All right, let me... Is government stupid or evil? It goes with Obamacare.
Yeah. What's the... What discussion did you want to have on pan-nationalism? That's kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
Pan-nationalism. Is it the opposite of panarchy?
No. It's, God, I'm trying to organize notes and get off and answer your question in a hurry because you have to go. Why don't you read it for a second and I'll come back. Examples of pan-nationalism are Nazism, Al-Qaeda, Christian nationalism, Zionism. Basically, it's you're not nationalistic for a country. You're nationalistic for a collection of an idea in a collection of countries. And it's always a bad thing.
But isn't that what libertarian or anarchism is?
I knew that that would be the logical question to that. But I'd say no, because it's an, you know, those things all involve force, and this involves the antithesis of force.
We're pan anti-nationalists.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is government.
Does this also include, because in the wiki page, it's hard to tell if there's a distinction between groups that don't have a nation, like would the Kurds be pan-nationalist? Because they're across like
look at the other one though. At macro-nationalism. It's another link right below that.
That might be it.
And I'm going to move this up. This is more important than a lot of stuff we got.
Macro-nationalism.
Did you see this thing, A Guide to Recognizing State Baiting in All Its Forms? That's written by the guy I'm interviewing on Wednesday. It's basically something.
He uses that term, state baiting?
No. Everyone's asking me that. Lou asked me that too when I said that. No, I'm just trying to genericize Lou's term to make it spread or use it in the generic.
How Alan Grayson says these freedom fiends out here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Pan-nationalism. Yeah, it's basically like, you know, us and Ben have done whole episodes on the state baiting thing, on the recognizing the, what are they called, logical fallacies. But this guy Max Borders that I'm interviewing, which is I'm gonna ask him what's his real name, and I'm gonna say it sounds like a Simpsons character who's ultra right wing and wants to build a Berlin Wall around everything.
Yeah,
I think it's his real name though. Yeah. It's a good name for a guy who helps head up a libertarian think tank. You know, for in Saturday Night Live, it would be the name of the guy who heads up the libertarian think tank.
Right.
Did you know that one of the Simpsons writers, the guy who's written the most episodes all by himself, is a libertarian?
Not know that.
He's also really reclusive. I wrote to him and asked him to do an interview, but I haven't heard back. Yeah, like after they started, he was there from the beginning, and after they started getting popular, he's like, okay, if you want me to work for you, I'm going to work from home. I don't want to be here.
I'm going to be here with all these stinky Harvard liberals.
These cheese-eating, what is it Groundskeeper Willie calls the French? Cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Yes.
Yeah. But the libertarian actually wrote most of the article where Homer buys a gun. Which basically
most of the episode.
Yeah. Which basically doesn't, it's not really that for or against guns. It's basically against Homer should have a gun, which I think I'd agree with.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't he use it to change yes. the channel on the television?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a Simpsons scene where Elvis shoots his TV, I think.
That's a real thing. That really happened.
Oh, okay.
I think. Sure, why not?
Or Simpsons.
Well, I know that Elvis showed up really high at the White House when Nixon wanted to meet him and tried to give him a gold-plated revolver and, like, walked into the White House with a gun. They're like, yeah, we'll just take that from you.
That's so Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when Nixon gave him a DEA badge. Remember? Yeah. All right, so where were we? We were at pan-nationalism. Did you get a chance to look at that other thing?
Macronationalism. That redirected me to...
One of Max Borders, he lists and names all of these fallacies that are used. One is argument ad Koch brotherum, which is saying that you're funded by the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
Although I think he's...
Is that what we're calling him now?
The organization that made the really high budget animation of iPencil that has a lot of views and is some other libertarian think tank that's like the Mr. Burns think tank. I mean, it's like funded by like big tobacco and, you know, all sorts of people that don't want to pay taxes or want any regulation. You know, not that anyone should have it, but people that don't want, you know.
Right, right.
The people that don't want regulation because it's cheaper to put you. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Right. I think that's the notes. Let me look through any things I've sent you. Oh. Do we want to talk about the nose telescope? Which I don't know why they can't just call it a smelloscope.
Ian did an hour on it.
An hour.
Okay. And, you know, that's not a reason not to do it, but if we have too many things to talk about it and Free Talk Live spent an hour on it, that knocks it down the list to me. I mean, we could mention in
Do you want to broaden it out and talk about this Daily Beast take on
Yeah, actually, that was a good thing you sent me. Where is that? And I got to pee. I'll be right back.
All right.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Wait, 2 months. How long are you going to be taking off?
Well, what me and my wife discussed wasn't taking the whole stuff off, just reducing, not doing Sunday shows for a while.
For how long?
I'll still be around for Wednesday.
For a couple months?
December and January.
All right. All right. Well, yeah. I'll get by.
All right.
Does it matter to you whether it's Saturday or Sunday? Is one as good as the other? Or it has to be Sunday?
No. It has to be Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Yep. We'll talk about this Nick Gillespie article. He's been really good on the pot thing, and people have been picking up. Like Time has been printing his stuff. And he's from Reason. He's a Reason guy, and he's been like the mainstream's go to on why pot should be legal. It's been pretty great.
Send it to me again. And, I can't find it for some reason.
Okay, I'll send it to you again. But yeah, basically the thing is all the nannies have their panties in a wad about pot being legal that they're trying a million different pinpricks to try to make buying and selling it as annoying and uneconomically feasible as possible, which is just going to keep the black market.
Well,
exactly
I've
the way
seen
it is
that
now.
Before too with guns. There was actually an unintended consequence. I think it was in Arizona or New Mexico or Nevada a few years back, where like they legalized. Let's see, what was it? They got rid of what? Maybe it was Arizona when they got rid of the need for a concealed carry permit. But then all of a sudden, it made something that used to be a misdemeanor a felony, which was you can't carry you can't carry a gun without a permit in Arizona into an establishment that sells alcohol, and that's really vaguely defined, and it basically includes a lot of supermarkets. Or a lot of not supermarkets, but like, you know, convenience stores. Like if they get more than 40% of their income from alcohol sales or something like that. So it was basically that was a misdemeanor, but all the liberals and gun haters were like, this is horrible. There's going to be blood in the streets if people can carry guns without a permit in bars. So they lobbied to change it from a misdemeanor to a felony to bring without a permit to bring a gun into a place that serves alcohol. So all of a sudden people who were formerly committing a misdemeanor were now committing a felony if they brought their gun without a permit into the convenience store to pay for the gas, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That so we ridiculous. Should definitely
yeah, I think
talk
that,
about.
That's a jumping off point for talking about why politics is not the answer. Cause everybody was like, they just need to legalize it. They
send
just need
me
to
the
legalize
link.
It.
Send
well,
me the
they
link.
Did.
Oh, you sent
it
to me
I
an
sent
email.
It to you again.
That's right. All right.
Yeah.
Daily Beast. Daily Beast. Potts Black Market Backlash. Yeah, we'll just mention the nose thing in passing. I don't think we need a picture for that.
Yeah.
But
because we had talked about that a while ago when the before the smelloscope, but when they were talking about the $2,000 fine and how ridiculous it was, and are you really going to outlaw smells?
Yeah. Oh, we joked about it.
But yeah. We did, but it was when they were first talking about it. I don't think the news dropped yet that they were actually going to buy things that look like they're straight out of Futurama.
Yeah. Let's see. Unintended. And, you know, this kind of plays in with that thing about me hiring the kid and it costing $50 and him working his butt off was like, this law hasn't even passed in Denver outlawing smells, but the police went out and bought these like $1,800 smelloscopes to try it out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like basically taking what this kid did, you know, and multiplying it by 40 times to buy one thing to test out if they can arrest people for something that isn't even illegal yet. Fuck those people.
Yeah.
Can't say it on the air, but fuck them. All right. I put in smelloscope. Honest kid doing your
honest work.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's because we might be on the air in Casper this weekend. I'm going to test. Oh, yeah. When we first, I mean, not that it'd be anything wrong with it. I just don't want like, but I guess I'm talking about it now on the podcast, but it's not on the air. It's not Casper specific. And, you know, what's to be ashamed of? I paid you an honest 3 hours work for an honest 3 hours, but.
Right. Thank you for busting your ass.
Yeah.
I can't believe he said I busted my ass.
I mean, like,
I was very lazy that day.
Yeah, like, literally, like, you know, the kid could probably use more work. Literally, I should be like, yes, and his name is, and his phone number, and if you want work done well in Casper, call him, you know. But you gave me free advertising. Stop it. So what I want to do is when I'm going to have my little radio next to me, and it's tuned to that station. When we start on the air tomorrow, you kind of riff for 30 seconds or so before I come in and say, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, you can even say what I'm doing if you want.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think we want to announce we're on the air here because we don't have an agreement from them yet.
Okay.
So I think we want to pretend we're not, even if we are.
Cool, homie.
I'll just pigeon you. I think that's way more notes than we need for a show, but.
All right.
Do you do you have any closing comments? I'll send you this again.
No, no. I think we're down.
And then tomorrow, usual times.
Yep, same fiend time. Yep,
worms.
All right, man.
All right, take care, brother. One. Bye.
Peace.
Peace.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.